So this morning, we have the beautiful, wonderful Vivian preaching this morning. Woo! Vivian is the head of our children's ministry. She's involved in worship. She's a cell leader. She's all-round wonderful family member in Midtown with her new husband, Alex, as well. So, we just want to surround Vivian this morning. We want to bless her and honor her and so let's all just, in true Catch a Fire style, stretch out our hands. It works better that way. Dad, I thank you for everything that you have done in Vivian's life. Lord, I thank you for how you've prepared her, how you've walked with her. And Lord, I thank you for the deep intimacy that she has with you, for the journey she walks with you that only you and her see. So Lord, I bless Vivian to be anointed with boldness, with confidence, with joy. I pray that every word that she speaks would be so anointed by you that everyone under the sound of her voice would be impacted by what you want to say. Lord, prepare our hearts, make us teachable, make us honoring. And bless Vivian this morning. Amen. Amen.
Thanks. Hello, everybody. Hello. So today is my first time sharing something from my heart at Midtown. And so I thought I would start off with my favorite topic, and that is prayer. Exactly. So prayer, it's a very big topic. There's a lot to say about prayer. But today I'm going to focus on something very specific. And that is, you know, with all the announcements, we've been announcing about the prayer rally that's coming up this Friday. We've been talking about, you know, the cry, the call, you know, harp and bowl, prayer at Midtown, prayer rumblings, like all of these things, all of these good prayer events to go to. But why do we pray? Have you ever thought about that? And I think that each one of us as Christians, somewhere, some point in our lives, we have been thinking about why, you know, we know prayer is good. Makes us feel good, at least. And when we know it works, right, we've seen prayers being answered. But why is it that we have to come and ask God for something that he already knows that we are going to ask? Why do we have to go to God for something that, you know, if God is all-knowing, if God is good, God is all-loving, and he's in control, why doesn't he just do something about our situation? Why doesn't he just do something about our nation? In fact, he has already predestined. A lot of these things are written in Revelation. Things are going to happen anyways. Why do we need to pray? Is that going to change God's mind? Or is prayer just something that we do so that we can feel better and then, you know, God intervenes and we can just glorify him? Is that it? And sometimes you think about, you know, some people say, well, I mean, we pray because that keeps us to have this relationship with God. You know, it's like when you know, I guess many of you here are parents or you work with children, is we tend to like them to speak to us, right? You know, that's how you develop a relationship when, you know, when there's communication between you and your child or your spouses or, you know, your friends. When you talk with each other, there's that communion, there's that intimacy, and you build on with that. In that relationship, you get to know each other more, and there's something really special about that. And we tend to think, well, prayer, it's exactly like that. It's, you know, talking to God, communing with him, so we can develop that intimate relationship with him. And that is very true, and I believe in this church, Catch the Fire, we've heard a lot about communing with God. We've heard a lot about, you know, having that real relationship with God as children of God, that, you know, God is our daddy. He loves us, and he wants us to spend time with him, and there's that something very special about that. However, isn't it not in the back of our minds that doesn't any good parent, when they see their children going to fall into some trap or that they're going to be endangered, wouldn't any good parent just step in and keep that from happening? Why is it that we, on the other hand, God loves us. He knows what's going to happen. In fact, he's in control and he's all powerful. Why is it that we have to now stand and ask God for something? Why doesn't he just step in and intervene? Why does he have to wait for us to ask? I mean, wouldn't you just step in if that was you, if you were the parent? And I think that's an important question to be answered when we talk about prayer, because what I'm going to talk about today is prayer is not just communing with God, which is actually, that is the basis of prayer, and that is having that intimacy with God. But over that, prayer is not just making us feel good and, you know, having, you know, soaking into his presence and everything is good and he's giving us peace and joy and we feel empowered. It's not just a good idea or a good feeling. Prayer is a necessity. It is non-optional. It is mandatory. It is something that we need to do as Christians if we want to move forward and if we want to see things changed in our lives, in our situations, in our sphere of influence. We need to pray. And why is that? Why does God, you know, like, again, why doesn't he just intervene? Why doesn't he just step in? Why does he have to wait for us to go to him? And is it because, you know, he just wants to hear our voice to ask? Is it simply, you know, he just wants to hear our voice? So having said that, let's go back to look at God himself, his nature, and the purposes that he has for us as people and as the world, the way he created the world. So some things that we know about God that I've already talked about, and I believe all of you reading the Bible would agree that God already knows everything, right? It's all-knowing. He controls everything. He's all-powerful. He has predetermined everything in a sense that he knows what's going on. He knows what's going to happen. And one more thing is that he is a God who doesn't change, does not change his mind. And when God has a purpose, it stands forever. He doesn't change his mind. His plans are eternal. In Psalm 33:11, it says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." So when he created the world, he had a purpose in mind. When he created humans, each one of us, he has a purpose for each one of us, as well as the general picture of humanity. He had a purpose. So let's look to see how, you know, what happened in Genesis, what happened in the beginning of the world when he first created us. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, 26, 27, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created man, male and female, he created them. So what does that mean? God created man in his own image. His own image, meaning to have his likeness, that we are like him. Not that like we are God, but that there's characters that he's placed in us to be, you know, to have that same kind of character as God, and to have that same nature. And it also says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule." And the key word here that I want to highlight is letting them rule. God said in Genesis, when he created the world, that man was created and God has given man the dominion or the authority to rule over the earth. And it was pretty much, you know, fish, the sea, the birds, you know, like basically every living creature that was created on the earth was for man, and God has given man the authority to rule over them. And so not only did God create men and women to have a relationship with him, and again, that is something that we've always talked about, and that's very true, and that's the basis of what I'm talking about today. But it's also to share in God's authority. Remember, he created man in his own image. You know, have a relationship with God, having that same loving, giving character as God, but also sharing in that authority that God has. Now we know God is the authority in heaven, and he created an earth with us, with humanity in it. So we have authority on earth, just like he does in heaven. And Psalm 8:6, it says, "You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet." Psalm 115, verse 16 says, "The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind." And there are many other scriptures that support that God has created man, and he has given authority to man, to humanity, to rule over this earth. So when Adam was created, he was placed in the Garden of Eden, and that was to cultivate it, to tend it, to take care of it, to fashion it, to model it, and basically ruling over it with his own creativity. So God has given us, or humanity, dominion over the earth. And just as God is ruling the unseen realm of heaven, man would rule the visible realm on earth. And along with God and man, enjoying just communion and relationship with him. And that's pretty much, you know, I guess a summary of the purposes of God. That he created us, he wants to have that relationship with us, and through that relationship, we are also sharing in the authority that he has given us on this earth. So what does that have to do with, again, answering the question, why does God not have just intervene in our situations without us asking for him? But here, it goes back to when I was first talked about the nature of God, all-knowing, all-loving, you know, all-powerful and everything. And one more thing about God is that he does not change his mind. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? 1 Samuel 15:29 says, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he's not a human being that he should ever change his mind. And lots of scriptures talks about that. So when God said in Genesis, let us make man in our image or likeness and let them rule pretty much over all the earth, when Adam decides to not listen to God, turn away from his ways and decided to listen to what the devil was saying, God didn't change his mind about the fact that man has been given authority over the earth. He didn't just take back the authority. Well, you no longer listen to me, so therefore, I'm not going to give the earth over to you anymore. Okay, he didn't say that. He had a purpose for mankind. He said in Genesis that I'm giving you this authority, let them rule over the earth. And when man is walking with God, the earth, it's, you know, again, under that communion, and it's also along with God's purposes and his will. But when man chose to, and when Adam chose to sin, when he chose to listen to the devil's way, it's essentially saying, you know, I'm no longer walking in God's way. I'm choosing to do what the devil is saying. So in fact, what happened in terms of the authority is now man is no longer, the authority that man has over the earth is no longer in relation to God and his purposes. Now it's agreeing with the devil and the devil's plans and purposes. And that's why the Bible says that, you know, the devil is, you know, the princes of the world, or even in, I think, 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, right? Even the Bible calls it, it's the God of this age in the sense that now the devil is having that authority. But who gave them the authority? It's us, it's Adam, so to speak, right? And humanity. And even in our own lives, it's like every time that we know when we sin, we open that door, right, for the enemy to come in. And that's why, because we actually hold that key, so to speak, over our sphere of influence, over this earth. And that's why, so man failed in this, you know, in Genesis. We all know, right? We've all read it. We have man and Adam in Genesis has not taken the authority. It's taken the authority and pretty much opened it up for the devil, and the earth is the way it is, even today. However, good news is, we know, Jesus came, kind of as a second Adam, and redeemed it for us. So now, even though man has fallen short of the glory of God, we still have a chance. It's like Jesus says, Matthew 16:19, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's like, wait a second. Who gets to bind things? Jesus is not asking, you know, it's not like Heavenly Father is binding things. It's you. Jesus is asking us, as the church, to bind things on earth, and it will be done in the spiritual realm. It's like, and whatever you lose on earth, it will be done in the spiritual realm. And again, the authority over, so going back to the question, why does God not intervene?
It's not that God doesn't want to intervene. It's that he has given us the keys, and we are now the people to choose. Okay, are we going to walk according to God's ways? Or are we going to listen to the devil and walk according to their ways? And right now, as Adam sinned, right, this whole earth is, you know, running under that authority. But we as believers, because of Jesus Christ, we are able to now, because of what he has done on the cross, the fact that he resurrected, the fact that he has now the keys of the kingdom of heaven, we can stand in the rightful authority and claim it all back for God's purposes and God's will. And again, I think the emphasis here is that it's us who has to do the job. It's not God. It's us. We, therefore, need to pray. And praying is just asking God to intervene. And again, not because he doesn't want to. It's that we haven't opened up that door for him if we don't ask him. Not because he's not standing around. Not because, and besides, he is prompting us a lot of times, right? Holy Spirit, you know, prompts us, convicts us, speaks to us. But until we actually do the asking, until we actually do the binding and loosing, nothing is going to happen. Because God has given us the authority to go and unlock things in heaven. And once again, not because he doesn't want to, because he's not allowed to unless we ask. And Jesus says in his teaching of prayer, right, again, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is God's will that, you know, that his ways and his character and his purposes to be fulfilled on this earth. And once again, it's us asking that will unlock things. And on the opposite side, however, if we stop asking, in other words, if we stop praying, then his purposes for this world in some ways would be hindered, right? Because the keys is us here. He's asked us to do this. And you'll see also throughout the Bible that there are many individuals that God has, I guess, done his will or fulfilled his will through many people, such as, I guess, you name it, you know, Abraham, Moses, David, Esther, Daniel, like all these people in Old Testament, New Testament, right? And we see it all throughout the Bible that God, his, again, going back to his purposes in Genesis, has created the earth for man, and his purpose is that we're walking, that God and man walking together to fulfill his purposes. So that's why he's always using people to do things. And even in the case of Esther, and when, you know, and Mordecai was talking to Esther about speaking to the king, and she was like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. She was being hesitant. Mordecai said, you know what? Deliverance is going to come to Israel. Maybe not through you, but it's going to come another way. The key here is, yes, maybe it's not you if you choose, you know, not to obey God, but God still needs to use people to do stuff. See what I'm saying? It's not just, you know, the angels, you know, falling and everything, but somebody has to start praying. Somebody has to start asking God before he moves. And that could be, you know, he might be sending angels and, you know, to do things, but we still have to be the one to ask and to ask God to intervene in whatever way it is. Could be supernatural, or sometimes he intervenes in a very natural way as well, using people, Christians, non-Christians, you know, people of this world, okay, in whatever aspects. But again, the key here is that we still have to be the one to ask. But again, so how do we pray effective prayers? You know, prayers that will work. And 1 John 5, 14, 15 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. Okay, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We can be for sure, we know that God is going to hear a prayer if it's according to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. So we can come to him with this confidence that effective prayer really is, you know, not just asking things for our own desires, and sometimes our desires is of God, and, you know, other times we just kind of want things, and I think that's okay. But here's what we're talking about. I'm talking about more like the intercessory kind of prayers, you know, prayers that changes nations, prayers that changes our sphere of influence, our workplace, our friends, our families, you know, or ourselves, like in our lives, things that God wants to happen. And when we know, come to a knowledge and revelation of his word, of what his will is, we can start to ask these things, and we know that we have what we ask of him. then that is bringing the heavens on earth, right? Bringing his will and carrying his will down here on this earth. So prayer is not just convincing God to do our own will. Okay, God, can you please give me this? Can you just do this and my life would be perfect? Okay, prayer is really asking God to do his will through your will, through your desires. Okay, as well. And of course, where is God's will found in? Okay, and mainly in his word. So power in prayer is not based on feeling. It's not based on how loud you could be, really, or just how good you feel about what you're praying for. Prayer is based on the word of God, which is found in the Bible, or also the word of Jesus, or the Rhema word, the word that he's speaking to us every day by revelation. Jesus said, John 15:7 says, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you." So our agreement with his word and our relationship with Jesus, our oneness with Christ, who is the living word, and the unity that we have with God's purposes and will, that is really the backbone of our prayers. That is really, you know, where the meat of sort of what we're asking should be coming from. Okay? I think one of the things about prayer when we talk about this topic, and I'm sure at least if you're not in this stage right now, that we've all been in the stage where, you know, like, prayer, like that sounds really good. Like, I know prayer is something that we all need to do, and I've heard it many times. But even though, you know, it says it right here, confidence in approaching God, but there have been things that we're asking for, and we know it's of God's will. We've been asking for revival, been asking for change, and we know it is God's will, but we just don't see it happen yet. I mean, like, are there not times that we, you know, kind of like, oh, well, we prayed this, but God hasn't quite answered that prayer. And I think sometimes you can get discouraged, right? And very commonly just getting discouraged. Like, you know, we've been asking a lot of things. You know, it says in the Bible it's supposed to work, you know, we're supposed to see it happen, but it's not happening. And let's be realistic. It's not happening. Like, nothing is happening. And, you know, and Jesus taught his disciples that Luke 18:1, that they should always pray and not give up. So I'm going to talk a little bit about just persevering in prayer and what that means. Okay. In prayer one time, and I really feel this is more like for us, like people, this church or the people I'm speaking to right now, which is all of you, and myself as well, that sometimes we do get discouraged in prayer, and sometimes that we feel that, you know, our prayers or our desires has been kind of buried. You know, it's like kind of buried on the ground, and it's kind of dead. Nothing has been happening, and maybe we've already forgotten it, some certain desires or things that we would like to see happen, and it hasn't happened yet. And we might feel like we're in a place where, you know, it's kind of dark, and the seed that we're planting, it's dead. Okay, it's in the ground and nobody really cares. And maybe God has forgotten about it already. I mean, I don't know. It's been a while that we prayed that prayer because we prayed it for a long time. We've been fasting and praying and giving up food and giving up chocolate, and it like still didn't come to pass, right? And I was reminded that what Jesus said in John 12:24 says, "For truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And though in this particular passage, Jesus is talking about himself, that if I die, you know, things are multiplying, and it's good. But here, it also labels kind of a principle that that happens, you know, on earth, you know, when you plant a seed, what really happens, it goes through the process before it becomes, you know, before it kind of spring up and become a plant. And read it again. It says, unless it dies, it remains only a single seed. Meaning, so if your dreams and your passion and your vision and in your prayers, in some ways, if it doesn't die, it's still just going to be a single seed. Jesus, what is Jesus talking about here? Or what is nature kind of telling us? Actually, in fact, it's not such a bad thing that it's dying. In fact, it's not such a bad thing that you think is forgotten. It's not such a bad thing that you feel, you know, that it might be kind of hidden somewhere, and you don't, you know, that there's, you know, kind of this process of, oh, I don't even know if this could ever happen, or if you feel that this is impossible, or you're discouraged. Because, in fact, it says if it dies, it will produce many seeds. So therefore, if you're praying one of those prayers that hasn't been answered yet, and you know absolutely this is the will of God, and you feel like kind of discouraged because you haven't seen it happen, it feels like it's been in the dark or that it has been forgotten, what is Jesus saying? This is actually, you're just in the process for multiplication. It's going to come, but it's going to multiply. It's not just going to come back to you as a single seed. There is going to be more coming. And however, in terms of the timing of when that's going to happen, that's really not up to us. It says Ecclesiastes 3:11, He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. You know, we've always talked about He has made everything beautiful in His time. You know, in the right time, we always help, you know, to encourage ourselves. In the right time, things will happen, things are good. Here, He has made everything beautiful in His time. We don't have to worry about that. That's not really our job, to make things happen in the time that we think it is. All God has asked us to do is we do the praying, we do the believing, and He is going to make it work and beautiful in His own timing. So we can just leave that up to God. When is the timing going to happen? When is this, you know, is this really, you know, all going to happen? All we have to do is really trust and believe and have faith that, you know, it is going to happen. It is according to God's will. We have confidence because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we can leave the timing thing, you know, all of that stuff up to Him. Besides, we're actually asking Him to do the job too, right? And that, again, could be through you, and He will give you the strategies. Or sometimes it could be through other people. Maybe He's knocking on other people's doors, and, you know, they haven't been so obedient yet. Who knows? Or maybe it just hasn't happened yet on our end, or we can't see it. But it doesn't mean that it's not happening. And it doesn't mean that this waiting process is like nothing is happening. In fact, many things are happening. It's just that we don't see it in the natural. We don't see it with our eyes. In Romans 8:26-28, it says, the verse that, again, the verse that we always quote, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Okay, let's go back a little bit. Verse 26, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." I think sometimes we tend to kind of quote this verse and say, oh, something bad happened to you. Don't worry. God will work it all out. You know, it's been, you know, according to His purpose. God loves you. God's going to work it all out. Yes, God is going to work it all out. But let's look at the verse before. It's talking about prayer here. He's talking about praying according to His will, and that is through the Holy Spirit, or, you know, Holy Spirit prompting you to pray. But as you're praying, and we know that in God things, God works for the good of those who love Him. And you know, there is that process of us asking according to His will, us actually doing that simple, verbally asking God to come and intervene in our situations or whatever thing that we're asking for in our sphere of influence. And He will, according to His time and purposes, to work it out for us. And that's something that, you know, once again, I think it's just like Ecclesiastes says, you know, and who can fathom what God has done from beginning to end? In some ways, that is a mystery to us in terms of timing and when do we see it happen. You know, it could be a day or two, it could be weeks, months, and even in cases in the Bible, right? Such as Abraham, he didn't actually see the full, you know, fullness of what God was doing until, well, maybe now, right? Like until generations after, 400-something years. So, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's just as simple as asking. Like, this church and many of us, like, we want to see revival, don't we? Don't we want to see, you know, this nation change? Don't we want to see change in the education system? Don't we want to see God intervene in all of our lives, in your workplace, in the things that you do, in, you know, with your friends, relatives, family? Well, again, the key here is all we have to do is ask. It's actually as simple as that. You know, when we talk about, you know, we have to do this and do that, and that's true. You know, faith without action is dead, and we know that we need to be obedient in all the other things as well. One of the key things here is that we need to actually begin asking God and to be confident that He's going to answer us. And I do want to emphasize, you know, prayer really is talking to God. And that's something that you can do anywhere, right? In your room, in your house. It's like God doesn't even ask us to spend money. It's not like, if you give this much, this is going to happen, right? It's like, what sacrifices are we really making when we pray? Really, it's that simple. It's like, he's not even asking us to be, you know, physically persecuted. And some people are physically persecuted if they pray, but we don't live in that kind of nation, praise God, right? We live in a nation that's free, and we have that freedom to just ask God to intervene. It's so simple. It's so easy. And yet, that is one of the things that, you know, in I guess, North America, so to speak, churches, that sometimes we kind of have a hard time doing. And I just want to emphasize, like, that is it. Praying is not just important. Praying is not just a good idea. Praying is not just a nice event that we can go to because there's, you know, all these prayer rallies. It is a necessity if we want to see things change. It is essential if we want to see God move in our lives and in those around us. And what does prayer require? Really, it's our time. And our faith, really, is really our faith in the sense that we actually come to God believing that He is going to answer these prayers. And that we keep watering, such as what I was talking about before, watering these seeds. You know, maybe we haven't seen them come to pass yet, but we're not giving up. It's just like if we think about planting, and you have a seed, and you, you know, water it and provide it with sunlight the first couple days. And you're like, nothing's happening. That was me, actually, when I was in elementary school. It never worked for me. And I just had this ungodly belief it was ever going to work because I didn't see it happen. Like, nothing was growing. It's, you know, days go by, and it just doesn't grow. And then one day, I'm like, forget it. I mean, it's just not going to grow. So I stopped watering it or, you know, stopped providing it with sunlight. And what's going to happen to that seed? It's probably just, you know, going to stay dead, right? Because we haven't made room. We haven't showered it with prayer, with persistency, so that it's not going to grow, right, if you don't provide it with the right conditions. And in the same way, it's like, as we're praying, we're asking God with faith, knowing that with the same confidence as Jesus is saying, that He will intervene, that He will answer us, because we are praying according to His will. But also knowing that even if we don't see it this very next second, that's not going to stop us from keep asking God or keep persevering and believing. And again, it's the asking and knocking, because he will. Things are happening. We just don't see it now, but it will happen. And we need to keep being persistent. So I'm just going to end with this. With the parable of the persistent widow, Jesus says, Luke 18. And the Lord said, Luke 18, it talks about Jesus talking about a parable, and he actually says it's a parable to encourage his disciples to not give up in prayer. Hold on. I'm like missing something. Anyways. Okay, it's a parable to not give up in prayer. And at the end of the parable, Jesus says, sorry, go backtrack a little bit, okay? So in the parable, Jesus is talking about there is a lady who really wants something done, but there is a judge who is unrighteous, who is unjust. Like, he really doesn't care. Like, who in the world? Like, I don't care about you. But this lady really wanted something. She really wanted justice. And it says, verse 6, it says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And which is, you know, because this lady has been persisting and is nagging and is really annoying with her persistency, even an unjust judge would give her everything that she needs just to keep her from annoying him. And Jesus says, using that parable to say, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? The gents are saying, like, God is not the unjust judge. He is righteous. He is just. And he wants to implement justice. He wants to give mercy. He wants to give us his grace. And the chosen ones who are crying out to him day and night, you know, those who are persevering, who are praying, you know, God is ready to move. That's what he's saying. God is ready. What is the next thing he says? In verse 8, Luke 18, verse 8, it says, but I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. So God is really there. It's like, okay, you'll get it and quickly, you know, in God's time, quickly, right? What that means. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So it's like, hold on, I thought we were talking about prayer here. What, you know, like, what's the relationship between when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's essentially, will we have enough faith to keep persevering, to keep asking? Or are we going to say, you know what, I don't see it happen. We pray for days, nights, weeks, day and night, you know, as it says here, and we haven't seen it happen. So, yeah. You know, it says, will he find faith on the earth? Can we keep being persistent and believing and trusting in God and keep praying for these things to happen, for these things to come to pass according to his will? So, ending with that, I just want to encourage you, you know, once again, you know, we talk a lot about prayer. We talked about, you know, expanding the kingdom by pursuing his presence. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, prayer, it's really something. It's not just, oh, yeah, it works. Like, it's necessary in order for things to work. It's necessary because of the way that God has implemented his purposes on this earth, just back in Genesis. And it's also coming back to that relationship that we do have with God, that his purposes is that we, along with God, that we're walking with him and doing his will and being fulfilling his will together. And if you are discouraged too, I hope that this is more so encouraging, that, you know, that things will come to pass. Things are happening, even though we don't see it. And my prayer is that each one of us will be able to see what God is seeing, to be able to look into the spiritual realm and say, you know what, I don't see it right now physically, but it is happening spiritually. I see that, you know, things are being loosed in heaven. Maybe it's taking some time for it to come all the way to earth, but it is happening. And just want to encourage you that things are happening. If there are things that you're praying for, it hasn't happened yet, it'll happen if you continue to pray and not give up, knowing that it is according to his will. So just want to close off with that. And I want each of us to spend some time in prayer right now, right? Just talked all this about prayer. First of all, I want to maybe have you, if you really feel this way, if you feel like discouraged lately, if you want to, you can stand or kneel or just pray this simple prayer with me. Right now, just to thank God. No, we come to you today, Lord. And Father, we thank you for this authority that you have given us through Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can come before you with confidence, that you will answer us as we pray according to your will. And Father, I pray right here for each one of us today, specifically for those who might just feel discouraged in their hearts, that you will come and encourage each one of us to not give up on the things that you've called us to in prayer or also in action. And Lord, would you just wipe away any kinds of discouragement, any words that might have been spoken that didn't come from you, maybe other people. Father, I just pray that you wipe away all of these memories, all of these words that don't belong to you. And we want to entrust ourselves with you today, want to engage with you today, with the authority that you have given us and with the words that you have given us. And we thank you, Father, that as we come back in prayer again, that you hear us and that you would answer us. I just want to encourage you right now, if there are just some things that are burning on your heart, and again, maybe these are things, if there's anything that's coming up in your mind, maybe things that has been forgotten, or anything that you want to see now, I just want to encourage you to speak it out. You know, sometimes we pray with our hearts, but again, there's that power in words, and I just encourage you to just pray it out right now. Or if it helps you to connect with someone else to pray together. So I encourage you right now just to open your voice. What do we want to see? Thank you.
even as we move the mountains, God, that we would just discover that you're that much bigger than even the mountains are. You give us the faith to pray for generations, Lord. Like Abraham, that 400 years from now, people would say, I inherited this land because Jason prayed, or because Trevor prayed, or because Sandra prayed, Lord. We would inherit that land, God. The people from far in the future would inherit lands because we prayed. In the same way, I inherit land because my ancestors 300 years ago prayed for me to inherit. Even not even that, 50, 60 years ago, my ancestors, they prayed for salvation and the kingdom to go through the generations of my family. I pray, God, that you would give us that kind of faith, Lord. That would bring your kingdom, Lord. Ah, that we would be able to receive an inheritance, not only receive an inheritance, but hand down an inheritance to our kids and our children's children. Ah, Jesus' mighty name.
Blessing that God has given him, that he would just be returned to us immediately. Our focus would always be on you. Your perfect will. Just pray for your help.
Burn in our prayer lives, that you would ignite and refresh our prayer lives. Your holy fire baptizes afresh, Holy Spirit. Hey. Ha. Give us eyes to see what you want us to pray for, to agree with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ha.
Vivian, that was an amazing word. We're going to end the service with one more song, if you guys are okay with that. But I just want to share with you what God was showing me while Vivian was praying. He was showing me how we are ambassadors of Christ. And when we're ambassadors of Christ, we have the authority to bring stuff from heaven into our circumstances. And he was showing me, it's like if you go into the embassy of Portugal, you know, on university. I speak of Portugal because I'm Portuguese. When I walk in to the, you know, in there, it's like I've walked into Portugal. You know, if I go into the embassy of China, I've walked into China. You know, and when you walk into that embassy, you're in that place. And I just felt like God wanted us to stand in boldness, you know, and we are ambassadors of Christ. So when we step out, we are going with all the authority of heaven, with all the weapons of heaven. So when you are praying this week, pray bold prayers, Pray with that authority that God has placed on you. He has called you, for such a time like this. He has given you that authority, and it's up to you to reach up and take those weapons that God has given you. Bless you, Midtown. Have an awesome week.
How he loves us, how he loves us.